What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long, bringing until 8 p.m. this evening. Right now, I want to take a little pause and do a little remembrance of an, I guess, sporting legend, you could call him, and not just, I guess, sports, but also entertainment. Bob Uecker, famously, he was a mediocre major league player, right, to say the best, right there. And he started a second career in entertainment that reached way beyond the ballpark. Backup catcher turned Hollywood star, then a legendary radio voice of his hometown Milwaukee Brewers for more than 5 decades. He passed away with a multi-year battle with cancer, was 90 years old. But being a 200 career hitter in Major League Baseball, but it was nicknamed Mr. Baseball by Tonight Show host Johnny Carson back in the day on his 100 or so appearances in late night TV, and started the popular series of Miller Lite commercials, did an ABC sitcom, a Mr. Belvedere, also a part of the Major League trilogy and film, authored 2 books, hosted Saturday Night Live after WrestleMania, and famously graced the pages of Sports Illustrated in a Speedo. His first love was baseball, though, and that never changed. But how does a 200 hitter get into Cooperstown? Well, just because of the character that he was and everything that he became as the voice of the Milwaukee Brewers. Wanted to take a little pause here and just remembering Bob Uecker and hear a snippet of some of that Hall of Fame speech he had going into Cooperstown.
I signed a very modest $3,000 bonus with the Braves in Milwaukee, which I'm sure a lot of you know. And my old man didn't have that kind of money to put out. But the Braves took it. I remember sitting around our kitchen table counting all this money, coins out of jars. And I'm telling my dad, let's forget this. I don't want to play. He said, no, you are going to play baseball. We're going to have you make some money and we're going to live real good. My dad had an accent. I want to be real authentic when I'm doing this thing. So I signed. The signing took place at a very popular restaurant in Milwaukee. And I remember driving and my dad's all fired up and nervous. And I said, look, it'll be over in a couple of minutes. Don't be uptight. We pull in the parking lot, pull next to the Braves automobile. And my dad screws up right away. He doesn't have the window rolled up far enough. And our tray falls off and all the food is on the floor. And from there on, it was baseball. Starting with the Braves in Milwaukee, St. Louis, where I won the World's Championship for them in 1964, to the Philadelphia Phillies, and then back to the Braves in Atlanta, where I became Phil Niekro's personal chaser. But during every player's career, there comes a time when you know that your services are no longer required, that you might be moving on, traded, sold, released, whatever it may be. And having been with 4 clubs, I picked up a few of these tips. I remember Gene Mauk doing things to me at Philadelphia. Oh, I'd be sitting there and he'd say, grab a bat and stop this rally. Send me up there without a bat and tell me to try for a walk. Look down at the third base coach for a sign and have him turn his back on you. But you know what? Things like that never bothered me. I've set records that will never be equaled. 90% I hope are never printed. 200 lifetime batting average in the major leagues, which tied me with another sports great, averaging 200 or better for a 10-year period. Don Carter, one of our top bowlers. In 1967, I set a major league record for pass balls. And I did that without playing every game. There was a game, as a matter of fact, during that year when Phil Niekro's brother and he were pitching against each other in Atlanta. Their parents were sitting right behind home plate. I saw their folks more that day than they did the whole weekend. But with people like Niekro, and this was another thing that I found the easy way out to catch a knuckleball, was to wait until it stopped rolling and then just pick it up. There were a lot of things that aggravated me too. My family is here today. My boys, my girls, my kids used to do things that aggravate me too. I'd take them to a game and they'd want to come home with a different player. I remember one of my friends came to Atlanta to see me once. He came to the door, he says, Bob Uecker live here? He said, yeah, bring him in. But my two boys are just like me. In their championship Little League game, one of them struck out three times, and the other one had an error, allowed the winning run to score. They lost the championship, and I couldn't have been more proud. I remember the people as we walked through the parking lot throwing eggs and rotten stuff at our car. What a beautiful day. You know, everybody remembers their first game in the major leagues. For me, it was in Milwaukee, my hometown, born and raised there. And I can remember walking out on the field, and Bertie Tebbets was our manager at that time. And my family was there, my mother and dad and all my relatives. And as I'm standing on the field, everybody's pointing at me and waving and laughing, and I'm pointing back, and Bertie Tebbets came up and asked me if I was nervous or uptight about the game. And I said, I'm not. I've been waiting 5 years to get here. I'm ready to go. He said, well, we're going to start you today. I didn't want to tell you earlier. I didn't want you to get too fired up. I said, look, I'm ready to go. He said, well, great, you're in there. And, oh, by the way, the rest of us up here wear that supporter on the inside. So that was the first game my folks walked out on, too. But, you know, of all the things that I've done, this has always been number one, baseball. The commercials, the films, the television series. I could never wait for everything to get over to get back to baseball.
R.I.P. to Bob Uecker. Thanks for the laughs, Mr. Baseball. We will sorely be missed and definitely forever be remembered, especially all around sports, as one of the great characters we got to watch and listen to.
I mean, Steve and I are cracking up listening to that here in the studio. It's just, he is such a as you mentioned, a character.
Bunch like, of one-line zingers.
Yeah, he's just, I don't know, he was one of a kind. And
rare breed for sure, right?
Real quick before we hit the break here, Steve, Mike made a great point. 53 years he was the voice of the Brewers.
What? Right.
53. Can you imagine that?
I think they have a statue for him at the stadium. But
they have to. He was calling their games against the Mets in the wild card round this past year.
Right.
I had no idea he was 90 years old because he sounded so energetic and still full of life. And just, as you mentioned, rest in peace to such a great broadcaster, great entertainer, and just an MLB legend. And as he calls himself, the best 200 hitting catcher in MLB history.
Thanks for everything, Mr. Baseball.